One of the things that I am seriously passionate about is finding products that are clean and pure. When my friend in Ireland developed Nourish Face Oil, I was so impressed with what she'd created that I actually invested in the company because I loved the product so much. And now we've heard so many testimonies about how good this oil is for your skin. If you're someone who cares about what you put on your skin and you're looking for something that nourishes your body and also calms your mind, Nourish Face Oil is honestly absolutely beautiful. This waterless facial oil is crafted with 100% organic oils, including marula, jojoba, rosehip, perfectly balanced with calming fragrances like rose and frankincense. What makes this so special is how incredibly clean it is. It's 100% waterless, it's organic on all natural ingredients. It's vegan friendly, it's cruelty free, and it's made in small batches in Ireland. This powerful blend of organic oils, it works to give you regeneration and glow for your skin, while the beautiful aromatics naturally really reduce stress and anxiety to help improve your sleep. It's skincare that actually helps you feel more calm and centered. So if you're ready to experience skincare that's both incredibly clean and naturally calming and actually makes you glow, you can find Nourish Face Oil at mytherapyproducts.com. It's honestly become an essential part of my daily routine because there's something so wonderful about finding products that make you feel good inside and out. When your skincare routine becomes a moment of calm in your day, it helps everything shift. And speaking of shifts, that transform how we feel, back to today's show. I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright. And I am super excited for today's conversation with my friend who, to give you a little bit of a snapshot of who's coming in to have the conversation with me today, she, alongside her husband, Paul Keith Davis, lead White Dove Ministries. She's the author of an international best-selling book, which is called Divinely Powerful. And her newest book, which I have been diving into, which is incredibly powerful. It's a very, very important message for our time, is called Beyond Eden. So she scribes her books from experiences that Jesus brings her into in heaven that are for all of us. And they transform our lives as we read the content because it's the truth and it's the future. It's who we are, whose we are, and the future that we're being prepared to step into in full experience. So it's my joy to welcome into the conversation with me today, Amy Thomas Davis. Amy, welcome.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me. It's so good to be with you again.
Yeah, it's so good to be with you too. Okay, so of course, I want to start off the conversation, deep dive, to ask you what happened to you, the experience that you have poured into the book. You were taken into the restored Eden. So yes, share with us what happened.
So this is where the book, you know, when I began to write this book, I thought in my mind I had a different plan. I love that verse, a man plans with his heart, but his steps are directed by the Lord. I always think that verse means the Lord is saying, that's cute, watch this.
Right, it's true.
And we have moved to a new state. So we're now living in a different home than when I wrote my previous book. And I asked the Lord, where do I write this book? And the Lord began to speak to me. And I have a wonderful writing mentor, John Moore. He's an international bestseller, New York Times bestseller, wonderful author. And I was speaking to him. And as we were talking, the Lord just really showed up. And in there, I realized as we were just having these discussions about where I should write the book, I was sitting in my room that's surrounded by all of these beautiful plants that are just overflowing. And the sun was shining through the window. And I thought, you know, I wrote my first book through trial. Yeah. And I get to write this book in joy. And as I sat in that place, I thought about Eden. And I was brought back to a year and a half earlier. So this was December 26th. And the year would have been 2023. And we were getting ready to make a lot of shifts and changes. And I had an encounter with the Lord. And I went into Eden. I was in restored Eden. And I was there with, Eve was there. And there was a young lady there. I understood that Eve, she understood the original garden. And the young lady of Eden understood the restored garden. She is representing, the young lady is representing our generation. And when I was in this place, we were brought up to the very, very top of a hill, a tall mountain, the mountain of the Lord, if you will. And I was brought into Eden, and they're showing me, the young lady of Eden showing me through Eden and telling me which fruit I can eat of. Well, as I say that, it is thundering, rolling thunders over my head as I am discussing and sharing about Eden. Eden Wow. is a very important topic to the Lord. Yeah. We have this opportunity to taste the powers of the age to come. Hebrews 6:5 tells us that we can taste the powers of the age to come. And what we taste those powers for is they fill us with what we need to endure some of the darkest hours we've had to endure on the earth. And humanity's had to endure. There are very difficult things happening in the world, and yet we get to partake of future Eden to strengthen us. And that's what I did. I was able to, they showed me to where the young lady of Eden showed me which fruit I could eat. And I was told that fruits were available in due season. I love the verse that says a good word in due seasons, like apples of gold and settings of silver. Literally, a good word was given to me. So I ate it, and it was like a bright, shining orb. It was like an orb. And you see that on the cover of Beyond Eden. There are orbs everywhere on the cover because all the flowers, the fruits, everything in the field takes turns glowing, sort of like an orb would glow. I ate of that orb, and I was given courage. That next morning, I woke, and there was a major shifting that was taking place personally and corporately and with our community that we have. And as I realized as I woke, I was given courage for what I was about to endure. So when I came into a shift and a change, I handled it differently than I would have before partaking of the fruit of Eden. I was given something to strengthen me, to equip me, to be able to go through what I went through. And I would say that we went through it with a lot of grace because of what we were given there. And I'll point out one thing real quickly. In Eden, you know, I asked the question, can I eat? And the young lady of Eden understood the new garden, the restored garden. And she said, you can eat that. And I realized that everything was taking turns shining. Nothing overshined the fruit or the being next to it. Everything had an opportunity to shine in due season. And I think I understood when I was there that the shining, nobody bumped each other out of the way. The fruit didn't even bump each other out of the way. They took turns shining. There were stars that were appearing in the sky, and they would shine for a short time, and the fruit from the land would begin to radiate this life. It's the spirit of life that glows through everything in the garden. And I love that everything preferred each other. There was no pushing each other out of the way like we often do. So that was the beginning of that encounter. And as I sat to write it, the Lord opened it up in a mighty way.
Wow. Gosh, I can feel Holy Spirit while you're speaking. It's just beautiful. And I love what you just said, like how everything was shining and everything was, there was room. Everything was preferring because everything had its time to shine, which is the way that he's created everything to be, right? That's in its restored state. Oh, I love that. Okay, there's one quote. There's a few quotes, actually. I was reading through your book, just writing and writing and writing, because it's just beautiful, Amy. Okay, so this is a quote, and I wanted to ask you a question, obviously about Restored Eden from it. And you say, God has energized his power in his sons, the same power that is in the life of the garden. The enemy has been given authority as the prince of the power of the air for an allotted time. Ultimately, the devil loses his power. We know that completely. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the devil loses his power, as I just read. Until then, the dunamis of God energizes the righteous sons of God to be the restraining force that pushes back the darkness. And I just sat in that truth, Amy, and just thought, that is the truth, isn't it? The enemy does not have authority over us. Clearly, the dunamis power of God is within us. So I wanted to jump off there to ask you about the understanding, the revelation that came into you about the dunamis power that we carry and our function in this hour, in that.
Yeah. Okay, this is... I believe this is something we will begin to understand more and more. The Lord is revealing it. We're going to go back to the word energy, if I can, so that we can understand the whole picture. Yep. Okay, the word energy in the New Testament, it means engaged in. It means it can be translated energize, an effective work, to exert, or to bring about something. Okay, so we find this... if you can imagine a shining light bulb, so here working in a situation that brings from one stage to the next, that's what energized us. It brings us from one place of where we are to the next place where we're going. Just like an electrical current energizes a wire, brings it to a shining light bulb.
Yeah.
So you can imagine everything in Eden glows. So what is the life source? What is the energy? What is the wire that is bringing that light bulb to glow? It is the life energy of God.
Yeah.
Everything in the garden glows by the life energy of God. So imagine we are encountering, as we encounter the age to come, what is it for? To bring it into the earth and begin, not only is it to bring it into the earth, to begin to express that on the earth so that people understand the life energy of God so that we can overcome the darkness, but is also a foretaste of what it will be like to be in a place of union and ruling and reigning for all of eternity. And I'll go back to that maybe later if we have time. So the energize is an effective work to exert or to bring something about. The same life energy dwells within the garden and empowers the sons of light to illuminate the surrounding darkness of the world. If you were to look at Ephesians chapter 3:20, we know this one. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly above beyond all that we ask or think.
Yeah.
Next verse, let's put in place the word that one of the words there is energeo, which is the word energize. And it says, according to the power that energizes within us. What is that power that energizes within us? It's the dunamis power of God. We have to understand that the dunamis power of God overrules the authority of the enemy.
Yeah.
Well, when Ephesians 2 says, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the enemy, correct? But that power is not dunamis power. That power is authority. It's exousia is the word, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. It's authority or jurisdiction. So the enemy was given authority, the prince of the power of the air, and he is constantly energizing the sons of disobedience through a negative energy, through a Luciferian energy, through a dark world energy, correct? A very dark energy. But then you have the dunamis power of God that energizes the sons of God, that overrules the authority of the enemy. And the enemy ultimately loses his authority. We know that. The scripture is very clear that he loses his authority. In the meantime, how do we function on this earth with the enemy as the prince of the power of the air? We have to come into a place where we remember that we are to be operating because of the dunamis power of God that overrules anything the enemy would try to do. All of it. Yeah. We have power. For a long time, even now, you know, you go into a place of prayer and often you'll hear in prayer settings, I have authority to dot, dot, dot. I have authority to dot, dot, dot. Some of that is I have a strong gift, so I'm able to. Okay, but when the anointing comes, and the anointing comes, it's different than just your gift. Your yeah. gift only takes you so far. The anointing, the dunamis power of God moving and operating through us can take out the enemy, and we come into a greater authority, the greatest authority that we've ever known. We have to learn, we have to transition from where we've been to where we're going. That yeah. is part of this, even the definition of the word to energize, taking us from where we've been to where we're going. It's very important. And in this book, Beyond Eden, I give some biblical and revelatory insight, which are tools for how we are going to do that in this day. We have to begin to look at things different than we ever have. We can no longer be in ignorance. We have to begin to see things as they are and believe that we can operate in the power of God. It's what he's destined us to do. He yeah. has not. We are not called to be overcome by the enemy. We are called by the spirit life, the life spirit, the energy life of God to overcome the enemy and overrule any authority that he has. It's what we're called to. Mm-hmm. And one of the things with understanding how we are to operate, it's going to begin to change us as we learn how we are to operate on this mm-hmm. earth. We yeah. are not to operate as those who are defeated. We are to operate as those who have already overcome by him, yeah. but we still have to overcome. There are major things that we are to overcome in our own lives, but as we begin to think as those who overcome and trust that the Lord is going to empower us with his dunamis power, things begin to shift around as we change. As I mentioned in my first book, I was in warfare. As yeah. I wrote the second book, I had overcome something, because I had accessed the coming age, tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. And when I returned to sort of, it took me a while to get, you know, as your feet back down on the ground, to be grounded again in this earth, it sometimes takes a few days. And when I did, I realized a lot is going to happen, but I'm different now. I've been empowered by the life energy of Eden, which is the spirit life presence of God.
Yeah,
and I could overcome anything the enemy tried to, bring
yeah.
at me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you were literally, I remember when you were writing your first book, you know, and all that you were walking through, you live, well, you're a prophet, surprise, surprise, you live your message, literally, don't you? And he's taking you as a forerunner to understand some of the process of what he's doing through and in his people right now and what time it is. Okay, so I wanted to, talking about dunamis power, I love in the book, you give us such anointed language and you give us some of the how-tos. So you yeah. don't just tell us we can and this is going to be our future and this is who we are, which is all profoundly important, but you also walk us through some of the how-tos. So again, I want to just read this because your language is so brilliant. It's so revelatory. And then again, just ask you about the how-tos. So you say some of the greatest discoveries the sons of God are making are in the realm of nuclear power, the dunamis of the spirit. I just love this. The omnipotent power of which the nuclear energy in the physical universe is a fitting symbol, is released and channeled into the earth by faith and praise. When God is actively, fervently, and continuously praised, This dunamis power is readily manifested, for praise provides a habitation, an atmosphere in which God can move and act. Each generation seems to have to rediscover this truth for the release of this power. And you reference Francis Metcalf, the Golden Candlestick ministry that I absolutely love, many of you know. Pardon?
That is actually her quote.
Is it her quote? Ah, okay. Is it? Okay. Right. Because you referenced their ministry. And of course, that for 50 years, that's what they did. They literally moved in dunamis power, moved in heavenly realities that are just profound because of the praise that they lived in. They discovered the key of praise. So this is part, a huge key for the how-to that you move into in the book in depth. So can you unpack that for us? Because it's massive for all of us that, you know, you guys listening out there, you're like, this is witnessing to you because you know you've got a hunger for the dunamis power to begin to steward and move in yielded authority to the headship of Jesus, but to really be a conduit of his power and authority now to begin to subdue and to push back the darkness and so on. See victories in your life. It's because it's time. Right, it's time. So can I ask you to speak into that, Amy?
Yeah, so one of the things, if, to understand the dunamis power of the Lord, we have to understand the spirit of his might.
Yep.
Isaiah chapter 11 talks about the sevenfold spirit of God. The spirit of might is of the sevenfold spirit of the Lord. It is an attribute of God. And it understanding the spirit of might, we have to, the spirit of might is, I wrote about it in my first book. I actually was there. I encountered the spirit of might and I was in a full, complete rest. So in order to operate in the spirit of might, we have to come to the place of a fully rested soul so that his might is operating through us. We're not in the way. We're yielded. We're fully and completely yielded. We've yielded every part of our being to him. Every part of it is yielded, fully yielded to him. And the spirit of might can then operate through us, that dunamis power of God. One of the things that we practice in our, we have a community called Omega Prayer. And one of the things that we don't just practice, it's an element of it, is finding the place of quietude. It's in quietude and rest. It's our strength, the scripture tells us. It's finding the place of the quietude of the soul, yielding fully to him. And we're so quiet, but it's not a loud, look at me, hear me praise. There's a place for those. But in this place, it's a quiet praise where my whole being praises you. So I'm fully quiet. I'm yielded to you. I'm submitted. I'm moving into you. I'm resting. And as we move into that place of perfect rest, perfect yield, quietude and trust, his power and his might can operate through us. It is a part of the process of cleaning everything up that we would be his dwelling place. He desires it. It's the whole picture of our eternal purpose. Our purpose is not to do something great on this earth and then that's it. We go to heaven. Heaven is temporary. Heaven's a holding place. Heaven is a holding place until the appearing of the Lord, the resurrection of the dead and the catching away of the living saints. We come into this place. We are moved together into the place of marriage union with the Lord. We experience restored Eden, a thousand years of restored Eden. Then comes a new heaven and a new earth. We come out of heaven as a city, New Jerusalem. And what is that place? It is the dwelling place for the Lord. So our eternal purpose is to know union with him and to dwell with him. As we even practice it on the earth now, we are practicing now coming into praise, coming into quiet, coming into trust, coming into union with him. Is it because we want some story to tell or some big fantastic ministry to do? No, because we want to know him. It's because we want to know him. We want to be so, we want to dwell with him. It's what we long for. It is our eternal purpose. Our eternal purpose to dwell together in union, not just with him, but with each other. I love Revelation 3. Revelation 3, that it talks about for those who overcome the culture of the age, those who overcome will receive these rewards. One of those rewards is to have written upon us the name of God, the name of the city of God, New Jerusalem, and his new name. What is his new name? And what is it that we overcame to get that new name? It says in Revelation 3 that those who held fast to his name on the earth, persevered through trials and tribulations, they will receive his new name. I talk about his new name in the book, and I'll do a little spoiler alert here on it's not little tiny, it's massive, but one of the things I believe the new name does for us, it does many things. Many things that we are gifted as we have his new name written on us. It's the full image of him. Okay. So we are born in the image of God. We are again transformed into, we go from glory to glory into his likeness as we are saved and we move into depths of his spirit. Just as the Old Testament had the old covenant, but they had a foretaste of the new covenant. And we're not made complete. The heroes that have gone before us are not made complete until we have come into the place of our inheritance in him, the new covenant inheritance. Even still, there is the revelation of his new name available to us. Even as the new covenant was, pieces of it were revealed to some of those heroes during the time of the Old Testament, they were still under the Old Covenant. The same way we will begin to understand pieces of what his new name is. I know a big piece of this new name is we're going to be given understanding a depth of who he is that we aren't walking in right now. It is available for us to go there, access the age to come, begin to touch these things in this realm. But it's not just touching the realm, it's getting to know him. And yeah. Part of the new name, it gives us something that we are able to not just cooperate together as we do on the earth, but to operate as one, even me and you. Yeah. We can't even, most people agree on dinner. And yet we're eventually going to come to this place as New Jerusalem comes out of heaven. And yeah. We are New Jerusalem, the wife of the Lamb. Prepared, adorned for him. When that happens, as that takes place, we have been given something to allow us and to motivate us. And it's the spirit of God in us to not only dwell with him, but to dwell together in him. Perfect union. That's why in Eden, everything prefers each other because they learn to, they prefer each other and they learn to dwell together. We're practicing that for 1,000 years, what we will do with him for eternity. That's what Eden is.
Just beautiful, Amy. I'm being soaked in revelatory truth as you're speaking and strengthened. I'm sure you guys are as well. Just very, very briefly, I had an encounter with Jesus where I was taken up into heaven and I experienced some of what you're talking about, that place where there's no longer any jostling for position or insecurity or jealousy. We were just absolutely one. Feeling Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Just utter love for each other, preferring one another, enjoying one another, absolute exquisite love and peace and joy. Jesus was standing in front of us. We were all together, snuggled in, shoulder to shoulder, and it was this exquisite place of, I suppose, being perfected in him, you know, and who we actually are in him. And then as one, he took us all up outside the earth. We were above the globe and I could hear this screeching of, it was the sound of the demonic and the framing up the earth's circumstances, bringing war, bringing division, bringing hatred, projecting its nature through those it could get access to.
Yeah.
And as one with Jesus, we began to release this sound, and it was releasing the frequency of his nature, of his peace.
Yeah.
And there was this beautiful, soothing, calming, transformative sound that was coming through his united bride, where there was no long, we were like, what you're saying, I think the definition of praise that you've just given is the most powerful definition of praise I've ever heard, actually. That fully yielded position that we can live from, where we're just, our whole being is, like you just said, an utter rest, utter yieldedness, one with him, in that state of absolute adoration, you know, just undone. I was experiencing a glimpse of that, of the relationship, of the union, of everything that you're talking about. So it's such life to me listening to you, because it's just resonating into the deepest part of what I've been awakened to experience. So just wanted to read, because I know we've only got a couple of minutes left, I wanted to read one of the quotes in your book that I just sat in for ages, and I thought, this is beautiful, and it really encapsulates what you've just been saying. It's really about, for me, it's about the process that we're in, regardless of what's going on in the earth. This is from heaven's perspective, what time we are in and what the Lord is doing. And you say, the light of life draws us into our eternal purpose, and through his life force, we experience spiritual growth, enabling us to become pure light and shine brilliantly in his image. He is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows. Holding fast to his name, which is what you were saying, we enter his essence and become the bursting forth of the light of life, to overcome death and emerge into our destiny to dwell as one in him. Life in his image is everlasting, and we move from glory to glory, unlocking the mystery of his new name. Glorious. That's who we are and where we're going, isn't it? It's everything. He's everything. And I love what you said, Amy, like regarding what is his new name. It's such a mystery, isn't it? It's only revealed by revelation through our intimacy with him. And it's just about the fullness of knowing who he is. And you can feel through what you're sharing, the invitation from the heart of God drawing us into this next level of maturity now, so that we can live yielded as a conduit of dunamis power to be effective in the earth whilst our whole gaze is on him through our praise, right?
It is.
That's amazing.
No, I want to, I said this, I skipped by it, and I know we just have a minute, but I want to just clarify, coming into this place where we are beginning to get, I think, revelation, understanding of, like, as you said, the fullness of his name, and the essence of who he is. You know, those heroes of the faith that have gone before us, you know, the scripture says they're not made perfect till we've completed our part. The union is required even there for the inheritance that we begin to see on the earth. There's a union required. Of course, a big portion of that inheritance is in the age to come as well, but we're taking it. We're going to begin to move in it here on the earth. But imagine still, even as that first part, the Lord working as he does, that first part requires all of us for them to be made complete and whole and perfect. Imagine New Jerusalem, our perfect dwelling together in him. The light of the Lamb is our light. There are no gates. There's nothing. There is full freedom and transparency and union and connection with him and each other. It's what we've always longed for.
Yeah.
What we've longed for. And we can touch it now. That's the beauty of it. We can begin to go into that place with him. And we do that through that place of quietude and trust. We trust you. I yield everything over to you, God. It's all yours. And see what he does. So he begins to move in us and through us by his dunamis power.
Just glorious. That's the invitation, isn't it? It really is. Oh, Amy, I could talk to you for like the rest of the day straight. We'll catch up. Thank you for giving us your precious time, and thank you for spending the hours and hours that you've done sitting at the feet of Jesus to scribe for us his heart, you know, because it's so, so important, this message. And guys, thank you for giving us your precious time. I pray that you will experience something more of the age to come this week as you've listened to the conversation today, that you'll go to a completely different level in him, in Jesus, this week. And I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.